is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Mike Siegel.
And I'm Kyle Dotson.
And we're doing double duty tonight. Christy Stratton just got out of here. I walked her to her car. I walked her past the homeless people, the dangerous people.
Hope you guys saved some energy for me.
We have energy. We were very low key with the Christy episode, but it was good. We had fun.
All right.
We did a lot of, went on a lot of tangents, a lot of TV and movie talk. But I think we played quite a bit of songs too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we got music. We got music and comedy and music.
Well, now it's all business, Pat. I'm not here to mess around.
Got your rock solid T-shirt on.
I'm flying the colors.
Kyle's got an Iron Maiden shirt that I do. Believe I bought you that in
London.
In London, England.
Oh my God! I was going to send this to you.
I think you were with me when I bought that shirt. We went to the T-shirt place.
That's right.
You bought a Beatles magnet.
Yeah, I did. That I could have gotten anywhere, but I paid maximum price.
Did it just say the Beatles, or were they walking?
It had their picture. It was the Abbey Road one. Was it Abbey Road?
I have the Abbey Road one. I bought that.
Yeah,
of course.
No, it was just them standing there. But again, I could have bought it in Venice or whatever. It doesn't, you know.
Hollywood Boulevard,
you know, yeah.
What were you going to say? You were going to say something?
Oh, speaking of Iron Maiden, I was going to send this to you today. And I forget. It was a mashup. Have you seen this? It's a mashup of Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, and The Monkees, I'm a Believer.
Oh, no. Is it cool?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Wonder if they'll do that in concert.
Oh, they should.
Pardo and I are going to
You're
going
to find it now, aren't you? Yeah. You got to find it.
We're
going
to see Iron Maiden at the Forum, me and Pardo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When is that?
April.
April.
No, maybe not.
Never seen them live.
Meaning?
No, I'm just I'm a casual fan, but I think I want to see them live. I think it'll be a pretty
Now, is there a big
show.
Eddie? Is there a big Eddie that comes out?
Yep, there's a big Eddie trunk that comes out.
Eddie comes out of a
Starts spewing
sorry,
facts.
It's Eddie Van Halen comes out.
What's going on? Where can I find this?
Somebody posted it on Facebook, but you find it. Look for it out
this
there, people.
This file has been
but
deleted.
Awesome.
We'll post it on the...
Speaking of Eddie Van Halen, I don't think we've told you about Sammy Hagar yet.
No.
Did you listen to the episode?
I did. I listened to all of it. And he sounded like a really, really nice guy.
Unbelievably nice.
Yeah.
I apologize for not shutting up on that episode.
poor Kyle. We had him sitting in the back, and then I look at the pictures.
Were you even
terrible.
In the room?
He was right on the stage.
Oh, man.
On the stage.
He shouldn't have been back there.
But
David Wilde couldn't even get a word in.
David Wilde was being very nice and letting me host. He was a very good presence there, but he was definitely letting me run the show, which was nice. But he brings a lot of credibility
absolutely
to the party, and I thought he had some great lines and he had some great stuff to add.
Absolutely,
but
no, he was just like I know how, and I was really happy for you because I know how big that was for you.
Very big Sammy Hagar fan. And it was 90% of the people in the room were there for Sammy, not for Rock Solid. So they didn't really, so that was weird. Like, I'm like, I didn't think about that too much until afterwards. I was like, oh yeah, those people didn't know anything. They didn't know what was going on at all. But afterwards, so many people came up to me and said, hey, I'm going to check out your podcast.
Oh,
this
great.
Is a great show. And, tell you a couple nice things about Sammy Hagar. First of all, by appearing there, everyone who appears there gets, especially if you're a celebrity, you get, they call it an honorarium.
Okay.
And I won't say how much that is, but it's a chunk of change that the three of us would take.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's $1 million.
So
it seems high. But.
So they, we're in the green room after the show, and a representative from the Sketch Fest came up and went to hand Sammy the check. He goes, hey, what's that? And they go, oh, this is Sammy. This is your honorarium for appearing and being part of the Sketch Fest. And he goes, I don't want that. he goes, sign that over to the San Francisco Food Bank.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully they did. Sure, I'll do that,
yeah,
Mr. Hagar.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Then before the show, he signed 6 CDs for me to give away. And he signed 2 albums for me. And then after, I wanted him to personalize the Montrose one. So I said,
okay.
And like when he signed it before, like I said, he didn't know who I, he thought it was David's show. He really did. He
oh, sure, yeah.
Gave David a big hug. Thanks for having me here. And David's like, no, no, it's Pat's
great
show.
To be here on the David Wild Show.
No, no, it's Pat's show. And
Wild About Music. Great to be here.
I'll tell you this. So he was telling a story about it. He said his back was fucked up. And he goes, yeah, my back's all fucked up. I was in Cabo over the weekend, and Toby Keith called me at my house and said, I'm playing your club. Come down and jam with us. And John Mayer's here. He goes, so I'm just, I went down, and we jammed for like 90 minutes. And, next day, my back's fucked up. And I called Mayer. I go, Mayer, last night, man, I don't know what I did, but my back's fucked up. And John Mayer said, my back's fucked up, too. And we couldn't figure out what the fuck we did. And I interrupt him. I go, Sammy, did you and John Mayer wake up in bed together? And he totally laughed and thought that was hysterical. He goes, I know, brother. And he was laughing. And then, I had a little bit of a connection with him before we went on the stage. But anyway, after.
So how did he fuck up his back?
Brother, I don't know. Jumping around. I'll tell you how. He's 68, jumping around.
Yeah.
Funniest
lifting
thing.
Lifting a keg of margaritas.
One of the funniest things in the interview is when Sammy and Alex want to do three shows in a row, and he goes, I can't do a third show because my voice will give out. I won't be able to sing that third show. And Eddie and Alex go, can't you just dance around? Because
the last guy did.
Yeah, because that's all they care about. They just want to play.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care what Dave's doing.
They don't care what the singer's doing as long as they get to play in front of people. And I was like, wow, those guys are jerks. But
all signs keep pointing to the fact that Eddie's nuts, right? He's got to be nuts.
Bag. He's got to be.
Did Sammy sign his? Did you get the book signed?
The books were that he had signed so much.
I got to read that.
His handler.
Way.
I'll give it to you. His handler said, "Do you want him to sign your books?" I'm like, "No." It was afterwards. I said, "No." He's
right.
Okay. So the other. So he personalized it for me, and he wrote, "Pat, you rocked the interview." So I figured he had a good time. And afterwards, he did say, oh, this was great. Thanks so much. It's so cool. So as we're leaving the stage, a lot of fans I saw from the stage as we were doing the show, they had albums and stuff with them.
Right.
So as we're leaving the stage, I go, it looks like a lot of people have albums and stuff. Do you want to deal with that, or do you want to go straight to the green room? And he looked at me and he goes, I'm going to give some love to the fans. And he went down. It looked to me like he signed everything that people brought up. And he, taking pictures, he would put his arm around people. I mean...
Were you the one that told me that in concert that anything anybody throws up on stage, he picks up and
anything
if it's a piece of clothing, he'll put it on.
Clothing, shoelace, tea bag, whatever it is. He picks it up, he holds it up, hangs it on the mic stand, just whatever. But he was, Glenn Frey just passed at 67 and David Bowie 67. Sammy's 68 and I was sitting next to him the whole time thinking.
Bowie was 69, I believe. Up top, my brother.
Yeah. Who was 69? Oh, yeah, Bowie
was 69.
But I was sitting next to, the whole time I was looking at him, because I was sitting as close as me and Kyle are sitting right here, and I just kept thinking, this guy has a lot of years left in him. He just seemed...
Full of life.
He looked good.
And
he
just looks like he didn't have any work done on his face.
He wasn't, he wasn't just wrinkled
looks like
either.
A
he just
person.
Just has,
he's a little heavier than he used to be, but that's it.
No care in the world.
No.
Not a care in the world.
He's got the greatest life.
Not a care in the world.
Not a curmudgeon.
No.
He goes.
He did it right.
And another thing he said, he goes, "If I told my manager, if I only have 100 shows left in me, I don't want to do those all in 1 year."
Right. He's just spreading it out. He's got a house in in Cabo, in Hawaii, and then San Francisco.
San Marin, I think is.
Yeah, Marin County. Yeah,
Marin County. Thank you, Kyle.
That's got a nice life, man.
He was great. And Chris Isaac came because he's a friend of David Wild's. And Chris Isaac just sat in the audience. He got a beer from the bar.
Dressed like he was going to be the next Doctor Who.
He was dressed. Yes, that's good. That's good. Perfect. I'm not even going to try to top it. Perfect. And he was... You wouldn't have known that he was anyone, but just a guy. He's talking, just fun.
You don't picture those two friends. They just seem like completely.
They know each other from the San Francisco area. I know this guy. Hey, it's just like, what the heck?
Maybe we get Isaac in here to tell some stories.
I would like to get Chris Isaac in here.
Yeah, but so. I loved the interview. I loved let's do it. And that was huge. That's big.
It was huge.
Did we see a little spike in numbers?
I didn't even look at the numbers.
Get those Sammy fans on board.
Yeah, I mean, he put it. That's the thing. He brought a personal photographer. The guy took all these great photos. That's where
who took the ones
took
of
all,
you guys.
Took all of them. And then he sent them to me like 2 days later, hey, I thought you might want these. And if you need anything, let me know. This was amazing. Yeah, it was just, it was really amazing. So hopefully we get to go up there next year. Hopefully the LA Podfest will realize that we could do a good show there for them.
Right.
I mean, come on. That room was almost at capacity. And
they already kept Sam, and they kept Sammy's fee. So there you go.
Yeah. And
he gave it back.
They're already making money.
Yeah. They can't afford not to have Sammy every year.
And then
and the Rock Solid Podcast.
I know. So we'll see what happens.
Well, congratulations. Well, that was fun.
That was really fun. And I.
It's a new year. We're going to get new guests. Who are we getting this year? Bruce is going to get in here. Come on.
You know, it's my brother said, he goes, you should ask Bruce Springsteen because he seems to, I bet he might do it.
Well, maybe the Sammy name can open up some doors.
Oh, also, my parents were like, you'd have thought they'd never been to a concert before. They're like, he played the whole time. It was a thing that they said.
Not one time did he sit down and
not play. They go, hey, look.
They saw Bruce?
Yeah, they've
never seen him.
Tour.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
They've never seen him. They saw the first night of the tour, just a couple.
I also asked him, I said, what David Bowie song did he play? And they go, I don't know, name some. And then I just named a bunch, and they're like, ah. And then my mom looked it up, and she's like, I'm reading an article. And I was like, just go to setlist.fm.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, Rebel Rebel. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's one I named. But you said, no, I don't think so.
We can admit your parents don't rock.
No.
They don't rock.
Bruce is coming here in, what, a couple months?
Yeah,
March,
here,
mid-March, St. Patty's Day,
the 15th and the 17th.
Awesome. At the Sports Arena, which I can't believe is still open.
The LA Sports Dump.
They're going to tear it down, I believe, for a new soccer stadium. The new...
Probably the minute he walks off stage.
Yeah. He might be the last thing.
I bet he'll sing that song.
We can take chairs with us on the way out.
He'll probably sing that song, Wrecking Ball, because...
what a shithole that place is.
He'll be followed by just like a bulldozer coming across, just like, everyone get out.
Anything new for you? Any acting gigs? Anything hosting gigs?
Nothing. I'm going to be in New York in April promoting the Taiwan show that I shot this year.
Where can we see that?
Well, they say it's going to air on CNBC. And I don't know any dates yet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, CNBC's, maybe in April.
That's cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I enjoyed my time on the cruise. I did 2 weeks of cruises.
And
over
those shows were better than your previous shows.
They were. I think partly because I knew what to expect, and I prepared for it, and I, you know, wasn't supremely disappointed. But it's a huge theater. It's like a 1,000-seat theater. Mm-hmm. And the people were a little younger this time, which was very helpful. And by younger, I mean 50s and 60s. And not 70s and 80s, which is brutal.
We could get Rock Solid to go on one of these rock cruises, and then we like...
Well, I took the rock boat with Graham.
But then we record podcasts with all the bands that are there, like in the showroom.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. I had a great time on the rock boat.
That would happen. Kyle, 3 days. Into that.
Oh, okay.
Graham did like a Kiss one too, didn't he?
He did the Kiss one and then this rock boat more than once.
Oh, the pizza's here.
Oh, guys, we're getting a pizza.
Okay, I'm going to live announce this.
Pizza.
All right, we just took a break. We ate some pizza. That's what we did. This is like that intermission during The Hateful Eight, where...
I haven't seen it.
Isn't going to ruin anything.
Now the last... While you were gone...
That's what Quentin Tarantino does.
Some pizza.
That's what he says, basically. He goes, yeah, it's ridiculous. So anyway, Mike, tonight we're doing our topic tonight. This is a topic Christy came up with, and then she didn't want to do it. So she said,
"So I get Christy's leftovers? Is that what you're saying?"
This is Christy's leftovers.
All right.
So this is
sloppy seconds.
This is called Everything and Nothing.
Everything and Nothing.
Songs with everything in the title or songs with nothing in the title.
I had fun doing this, putting this together.
This was
a lot of songs out there.
Yeah, and easy to put together.
Yeah, very easy.
So,
we're going to kick it off. Who wants to start?
You can start.
All right. Kyle, are you ready? You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to start with our boys, Rock Pile from Seconds of Pleasure. This is You Ain't Nothing But Fine. Little girl, let me walk you home. You shouldn't be out walking all alone. Little girl, let me walk you home. You know I won't do you no wrong. Come on, tell me what's your name.
You ain't nothing but fine.
There you go.
Lyrically, one of the best.
I think that was sung by the guy who's not Nick Lowe or Dave Edmonds.
Billy Bremner?
Maybe.
I think that's his
name.
Yeah,
I think it was him.
Look at that.
That's fun, though.
Hope I'm right. Yeah.
Every song's good on that Seconds of Pleasure album.
Yeah, that's a fun album.
Oh, it's great.
That'd be great.
Is that the only one they did studio when
they did? But all the solo albums from Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds up to Rockpile were all those guys.
Yeah.
So like all those
albums. And some of the same songs.
Yeah, all those albums are kind of Rockpile albums.
Right, that's true.
Well, not technically not. Because they didn't list him as Rockpile, so there's technically only one. I'm going to go 2014.
Okay.
From the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters?
Hi.
Got a little pizza in your throat
there. The Foo Fighters, Sonic Highways. This is Something from Nothing. Oh, sweet ignition, be my fuse. You had no choice, you had to choose. Bid farewell to yesterday. Say goodbye, I'm on my way. I threw it all away because I had to be what never was. Been so hungry I could lie. Took my word, took your wine.
What city was this done?
I don't know what city this one was done in.
I remember the series. I can't remember which one this was played in.
This is the first city, but I don't remember which one it was.
That's that the Chicago song? One? No, that wasn't.
That's the song also that people said sounds like a Dio song. Yeah, there's like a part where it's kind of a little bit sounds like a Dio song.
I missed the free download. I still got to get Saint Vincent?
Saint Cecilia.
Saint Cecilia. I got to get that.
Get that.
Is it only five songs? Is it an EP?
It's an EP. Five songs.
I got to get that. Free.
Free.
Yeah, this is the Chicago one.
It was the Chicago one.
Oh, yeah, Rick Nielsen plays on that. You're right. Yeah, this is Chicago.
And then they say when they went to Chicago, the drummer said, all I know about Chicago is the Cheap Trick.
Because I don't know anything about blues. All I know is that this is where Cheap Trick's from. Way to go, Taylor.
Who's going
to
induct them?
Cheap Trick? Maybe Dave and Taylor.
Yeah, that would be. That
but
would
also be. Maybe Joe Perry, because Joe Perry says Cheap Trick's his favorite band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Either way, that's a win-win. Did you get your tickets yet?
We didn't get we have our hotel room. We have our flights.
Okay.
I don't think tickets went on sale yet, but Pardo said the venue is like as big as the Staples Center, so we will get in.
Is there now? Is the ceremony in one place and then the concert in another? Or it's all in one place.
I think it's all in one place.
Where? What? When is it?
April something.
No, it's in April. Okay, it's coming up.
I think it's in April. Hold on, I can tell you. It's on my calendar. I can't remember.
Wait a minute. I'm going to be there in April.
What?
Tell me. Is it on a weekend or during the week?
April 8th.
Oh, I'll be there.
Are you kidding?
No, I got to be there the 7th to promote the Taiwan show.
We fly in on the 7th. And then we fly out on the 9th.
Oh, man.
Oh, maybe he can stay with you and Pardo.
Yeah, that'll be great. The three of us?
They're probably putting you up, right?
Just oiled up and just
we'll be in
staying
Brooklyn.
In the
we'll
same
in,
room?
We'll be in Brooklyn.
Is that where it is?
Well, then you should try to get
there's
a ticket.
There's no sleep there.
There's no sleep till
there's
Brooklyn.
There's no sleep.
Oh, till Brooklyn.
Then when we get there,
when
we
you
sleep.
Get there, you can sleep.
Well, no, I was like, I got to do the thing on the 7th,
uh-huh.
And which is a Thursday.
Yeah.
And I asked them, instead of flying me back on Friday, I said, I want to stay the weekend.
Well, then you should, when tickets go on sale,
yeah, no,
you
definitely
should get
I'll
one
go.
For the 8th.
That would be awesome.
And then the week after that, the 15th, that is when Iron Maiden is.
All right.
All right, man. What's your next tune?
Okay, this is, speaking of New York, the Ramones. I Wanted Everything. You go
from Road to Ruin.
That's Road to Ruin.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember where it was from.
Yeah, those first four kind of a little bit run together. The
yeah.
titles and the covers and the songs, but
Rocket to Russia, Road to Ruin,
love it all, love it, love it. Kyle, what do you think? You like the Ramones?
Yeah, I do like the Ramones.
So was that the one before End of the Century?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's the one right before End of the Century, right before they were held hostage by...
by the Wall of Sound.
By the Wall of Sound. I love those 80s Ramones albums, though. I really love them. Pleasant Dreams and Animal Boy and...
Is Mondo Bizarro in there?
Mondo Bizarro and Brain Drain.
And you never saw them?
Mondo Bizarro, I think, is in the 90s, to be honest.
Was that their last one?
Adios Amigos was the last one.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
96.
I saw that tour.
Yeah, I never got to see them.
Ah, and it was just dumb luck. I told you, sorry, I was playing the comedy club in Indianapolis.
And they fired you.
I stumbled next door into the Vogue Theater, and look who it was.
And was it packed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was packed.
How'd you get a ticket then?
I have no idea. I think maybe somebody at the comedy club pulled a string or something to get in.
That's amazing.
Also, was it like one guy you can... I'm finding this all over the place. There's one guy you can weasel something in. Usually somebody has a spare ticket, always. Somebody's friend bails and they're trying to sell it outside or something.
And was that the one and only time you saw them?
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that was it.
You are lucky.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I didn't know it was going to be their last. Or maybe they said. I wasn't too aware back at that point.
Did you hear this at all? What, 1, 2, 3, 4?
Oh, sure. But it was CJ.
CJ counting it in.
Yeah, it was a young kid. He was so much younger than all of them.
Yeah. But yeah. I guess he was a great bass player.
And up close, Joey was
frightening
yes. looking.
I saw Johnny Ramone in... Well, I actually saw Dee Dee, Markey, and Johnny. I got Dee Dee and Markey's autograph. They were signing autographs at like a Hollywood costume shop on Hollywood Boulevard.
Dee Dee was there?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I saw Johnny at a place where you rented like video cassettes. That's how long ago it was.
Because he lived out here. So that's why...
This was in North Hollywood. And he went to the counter and they go, name. And he goes, John Cummings, because that's his real name.
Right.
I was like, but he had the haircut.
It looks exactly, like, it's him. Yeah, right? He dressed the same way.
Jeans, sleeveless t-shirt.
Right. Swastika shirt.
No.
No.
let's hear, I think this is not on an actual Kinks album. This was a single. This is in mono. This is She's Got Everything. Drums sound great on that.
Sounded great. What year is that? You know,
Nick Avery. Do not know.
I'm sure by now you've seen. We posted the 60s. The clip of Ray getting on stage with Dave in London.
I read a little background on that. That was not planned.
Yeah,
just got up.
And is it going to go anywhere? I mean, what's going to happen?
Here's the thing. I think with David Bowie passing, that's going to make those guys think. You know what? Time is fleeting, so if we're going to do it, we should do it.
I just realized driving over here, Lemmy outlived my dad.
That's
Lemmy, who smoked and drank every day for 50 years.
How old was your dad?
67.
Yeah, that's Glenn Frey age. That's too young.
I know.
Yesterday was my first day back in a long time, and I get on the treadmill. I'm just getting ready to start, and a guy gets on the treadmill next to me and taps me on the back. I'm like, what the fuck is good? Because it's a brand new gym.
Right.
My gym closed, a brand new gym. I'm like, who the fuck? Really? It's my first day. What the fuck? And I'm like, it's John Heffron. And I go, I'm glad you're here, John, because in about 20 minutes, I would rather have a friend do chest compressions on me than than a stranger.
How do you feel? You sore already?
Second day, not any. I thought, it gets easier every day. Nope.
Nope.
So where was this? Oh, so anyway, so him and I were talking about Glenn Frey, and I go, now I'm going to be 52. I only have 15 years left on the planet. That's scary. I don't like that. I don't like And Heffron goes, oh, dude, I don't even like thinking like that. Don't even say it. Like, I made him see white.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
Lemmy, Jack and Cokes every day.
What did your dad pass from? Can I ask that?
He had heart disease. He had high blood pressure.
Did he take care of himself? Did he
diabetes
go to the doctor?
And stuff. He went to the doctor all the time. No, he just ate. He didn't smoke, didn't drink. but just, you know, I never saw him eat a vegetable in his life.
Okay, so he didn't...
He was overweight for most of his life. Not hugely, but he was overweight.
So dietary-wise, he didn't take care of himself. All right.
But, I mean, some of this is genetic, but, I mean, other people eat crap and live...
Yeah.
Yeah. You think Lemmy was vegan? I doubt it.
No, he ate the rainbow every night.
I know.
Chicken wings. Burger. Jack and Coke.
You know they're calling it a Lemmy? That's if you order a Lemmy there, it's a Jack and Coke.
No, I'm gonna,
they
I'm
just
gonna,
named it after him.
I'm going to call. I'm going to order a Lemony Snicket. See what they give me then. You're up. It's your turn.
I'm up. Okay. I'm going to go to the Billboard Top 100 of 1970. This is Tom Jones... And this is called Without Love, There Is Nothing.
Oh, damn.
Belting it out. Listen to him belt it out.
I had nothing, nothing at all.
It's getting big here.
Without love, I had nothing.
Such a macho voice.
Without love, I had nothing.
Oh, it's going to get bigger. Okay, now, you think that's macho? Start it from the beginning. You got to hear this intro, this spoken word intro. It's awesome.
You know, hey, bitches.
Yeah.
To live for today and to love for tomorrow is the wisdom of a fool. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. You see, love
is this
is
from
that
Lord of the Rings?
That the whole wide world needs plenty of. And if you think for 1 minute that you can live without it, then you're only fooling yourself.
Okay,
listen, please. Wow.
That's the wisdom of a fool.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
I remember my mom would watch the Tom Jones Variety Hour, a variety show. Like, wouldn't miss it. I think her friend Marilyn Laux.
He does have an amazing voice.
Yeah. And he was great looking.
Oh, my God. You couldn't stop looking at him.
He's still not bad looking.
Oh, yeah. He's, what, 80 now, probably?
Probably.
Ugh.
Mike, I'm going to go to the Billboard Top 100 of 1974.
Oh, okay.
I think you might have. This is the one
I may have brought it. But
I think I said this might be on Mike's list. So just play it.
Oh, yeah, I got this one.
Yeah.
Billy Preston.
Yep.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
That's a lot of nothing.
You gotta have something if you wanna be with me. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something if you wanna be with me.
There's a great YouTube clip out there now that I'd never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
With Billy Preston is 11 years old with Nat King Cole.
How old is Nat King Cole? 22?
It was in the 50s, and Nat King Cole, is, I think it's his TV show or something, or a special, and he brings us, we're going to have a little guest come out, and Billy Preston plays and sings a duet with him, and they alternate like being at the piano. One will start playing the piano, and the other singing, and the other one gets up, and then the other one sits down. It's an amazing clip. And he was like 11 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I didn't know he was like this child prodigy, but
he was.
No,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So look for it out there.
YouTube.
In the U of Tube.
Climb down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
What's next?
And then find the Monkees Iron Maiden mashup.
And then find Nat King Cole and Iron Maiden. It's got to be there. What do you got, Mike?
Oh, it's back to me. Okay. This is John Wesley Harding. This is off the High Fidelity soundtrack. I don't know if it came off one of his albums as well, but this is I'm Wrong About Everything.
Colors fade to gray and I'm left with black and white. Don't know why I try to fight with what is right. Truth is on our lips and it looks like time to tell. But you know I could be wrong about that as well. The ending was more or less assured. I thought a little warmth could win the war.
There you go. I always liked that song. Yeah. I don't know any of his other stuff.
I don't know if I've ever heard that song.
No, yeah. It was on the High Fidelity soundtrack, which is a great soundtrack.
And the artist
great
album. Again?
John Wesley Harding.
Yeah, I don't know that song.
Shares a name of a famous old Western outlaw, I believe, right?
Shares two-thirds of a name of a guy who used to play The Flash.
Oh, God.
John Wesley Shipp.
Nerd.
Hey, how much juice is on the recording computer?
62%.
What do we hear?
67%.
Oh, man.
The recording computer?
I'm at 71. That's the recording. We're a three laptop operation here. My next song is a number one single from 1977.
Oh.
You and I did a 1977 show, but I don't think we played this.
I might have brought that as well.
This is Andy Gibb.
Yeah.
I Just Want to Be Your Everything.
Awesome.
I would wait forever for those lips of wine. Build my world around you, darling. This love will shine, girl. Watch it and see. If you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key. Heaven in your heart and let me be the things you are to me and not some puppet on a string.
That was back when Barry Gibb was writing so many number one hits. They just said, here, Andy, you have this one.
Yeah.
Just like, you're starting out in the business. Here, have a number one hit.
He was 30 when he died.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
30. He would be
31.
No, because Kirk, my brother, your dad was born in 1958. That's when Andy Gibb was born. So he would be
57.
Wow.
Yeah. He'd be 57 right now. And I mean, he was
30.
He would still be doing it. Him and Barry would be touring. If
Barry's the only
died.
One alive and Barry was the oldest.
I know. Why? This is all life in the fast lane for this kid.
I know.
30 is crazy.
Yeah, 30. That's drugs. Anybody dies that young. That's bad.
Well, look.
Hard
learn anything from Nancy Reagan.
Just say no.
Just say no. That's all you do.
No, I brought that one too. How could you not? I hadn't heard it in so long. And then when I pulled it up here and played it, I was like, damn, that's a great song.
It's a great song.
It is. Number one. For weeks, I remember that being number one. Okay, my next one is from our gal, Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. This is off Loose Screw, Nothing Breaks Like a Heart.
Almost brought this, but then I couldn't find a good place to cue it.
You don't love
that's going right from the start.
I can
a little reggae vibe, a little reggae vibe.
But I want you more than before, so I conceal it. Walk on, walk on, baby. Don't look back. This happy face is just a disguise. Oh, baby, when love dies, nothing breaks.
And Loose Screw is a great album.
Yeah.
It's a really great album. I think that's one that gets lost in the shuffle of everything, even with other recent albums. I mean, for some reason, find Loose Screw. I'm sure you can find it.
Her voice sounded so good on that.
Yeah, really great. My next song is, I love to play early Police when they really rocked. This is the B-side from their first single called Fallout. The B-side is called Nothing Achieving. This isn't even Andy Summers on guitar. This is a guy called Henry Padovani.
So Andy Summers wasn't in the group then?
No, it's in Andy Summers' documentary. They want Andy to join the band. He comes to the show, and they offer him the job as guitarist, but they want him to be the second guitarist.
Right.
And he says, no, I don't want to be the second guitarist. So they hire him and fire the other guy. So this is Nothing Achieving.
My daddy's boots don't fit me, 'cause I'm bigger than him. He says I make him sick, I'm bigger than him. They say there's nothing worth achieving. All your dreams are just deceiving. You've locked the doors on your good living.
think I've ever heard that.
Also written by Stuart Copeland.
Really?
And then here's a quote from Sting. This is from the message in a box from the liner notes. Sting, and just when I read this, you'll just hear pompousness. This was one of the songs Stuart played me. What the songs lacked in sophistication, they made up for in energy. I just went along with them and sang them as hard as I could. No, it wasn't false punk. I mean, what's real punk? Our first record was entirely a tribute to Stuart's energy and focus. The band wouldn't have happened without him. Well, that was nice.
Okay. He threw him a bone.
First he takes him down. Right. Lacks sophistication. And then he, but that first Police album is killer.
No, was that song, that was a B-side?
Yeah. Before their first album came out, they just did what everyone would do. They'd record like a single.
Right.
And that was the B-side to the single Fallout.
Okay.
And those aren't on any of the, that's on, you can get it on the box set.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, that sounded great.
Yeah, that's really good.
And now he has a lute.
And he's touring with Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, the Rock, Paper, Scissors tour this year. I saw Gabriel a couple of years ago, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, I guess they're going to sing together.
Each other's songs?
Each other's songs or together. I think this is exactly what Sting just did with Paul Simon.
Oh, okay.
They did. They would perform together. They'd perform separately. They would do each other's songs. And I think Elton and Billy Joel, too, would do that a little bit. They would perform together, and they would sing. Elton would sing a couple Billy Joel songs. So
they're coming to the Hollywood Bowl, I believe.
Yeah, I never want to go to the bowl.
I know. We got to work. As long as you got a good ticket. If you're in the back, you're screwed at the bowl. But if you get a good ticket, it's nice.
I'll see if I can hit up a publicist on.
Yeah, work
things.
Your magic. You work some of that Sammy Hagar magic.
Oh, listen to this. I don't want to give anything away, but so I won't say it. I'll tell you guys afterwards.
All right. Well, you stole my next everything song, which was Andy Gibb. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to switch to number 8. If you could do that, Kyle.
Yes.
And this is from one of my favorite bands.
Hold the phone. I just happened to look at the Rock Solid Twitter page.
Uh-oh, hold on.
Faster Pussycat is now following us. Faster Pussycat.
All right.
Band nice. From the 80s.
Nice.
Should I follow them back?
Absolutely.
Give them a follow back. There we go. Look at that.
We'd love to be on the show.
Get them in here. Oh, I want to hear those stories.
I don't want to hear anything from them. All right. I'm sorry, Mike. Go. I interrupted you.
Oh, just in. Faster Pussycat is not following us.
I know. Yeah, no kidding. This is for one of my favorite bands. This is Crowded House with Everything Is Good For You. When the tulip dies, for a moment I was taken. Ending is another one's beginning. Everything is good for you. Neil Finn and the Boys.
One of those band members is deceased, right?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think so.
Not one of the Finns.
No.
Do they still...
The drummer, I think.
Do they still go out as Crowded House sometimes?
Sometimes. I've seen them both as Crowded House and then just Neil Finn solo.
And sometimes they go out as roommates.
Aha.
Are you, do you also like the Split Ends?
Yeah.
I only know a couple of Split End songs. Are their albums
good? The Leaky Boat song.
Yeah, Leaky Boat. And
I Got You is like a classic. That's amazing.
There's three that I like. Are their albums good?
They were more of a singles band. You know, like the albums were hit and miss for me, but when the singles hit, they were good.
History Never Repeats.
History Never Repeats is a good song.
Yeah. For some reason, I have that in here like 9 times in my iTunes library. I got to weed this library out. This is bullshit. Okay.
How do you get so many doubles? I'm finding that myself.
I don't know.
You know,
how does
that happen? There's a way.
Yeah, you can put view duplicates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then it'll show you all the duplicates. Now, it has to be named.
Exactly the same.
Well, relatively similar.
So if it's got an extra space in between the words,
I don't know if they account for that, because I've seen things that aren't named quite the same. Like sometimes a live thing, I'll have marked live, but it'll come up duplicates. So I think it just depends.
All right. This is computer talk.
Thanks, Kyle. Tech talk.
Tech talk.
Let's go to 2011. Lenny Kravitz album called Black and White America. This song is just called Everything.
It's about what we saw when his pants tore.
I don't hate that.
No, he has some great albums.
Yeah,
he really does.
Absolutely.
I got on a Lenny Kravitz kick, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to go look for some of his albums. And I sadly used, I picked up a bunch for like 99 cents. They're great.
So right up there with the REM Monster.
Yeah, it's very strange what albums are there. I mean, there's a ton. If you go to Amoeba Records out here.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Elvis Costello.
A lot of cracked rear view.
There's a ton of Elvis Costello because Elvis, oh, he remastered it. Then he remastered it again and put bonus tracks on it. And then so people are like getting rid of their old ones to upgrade, which that's the good thing. But then you'll see like a million
right.
Elvis Costello albums.
Oh, you okay, Kyle? What happened?
Yeah. Fine.
You good?
Okay.
You got pizza in your system? You drinking? What are you drinking? A hot tea?
Yeah, I'm drinking a hot tea.
Hot tea. What do you got behind you? What's that? I thought you brought in a urine specimen or some or vinegar.
This was like green tea that I bought at lunchtime.
And then peed it out.
We went to like an Asian marketplace for lunch. It's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, hardcore.
All written in
Japanese.
Yeah.
There's only two English words in this whole bottle, and it just says green tea.
Yeah,
but it looks like vinegar.
Yeah, it doesn't look.
It's all right. It doesn't have any sweetener in it, so it's a little bland.
Boring.
Yeah, it's all right though.
This is tea talk.
Tea time.
Heard tech talk.
I ate.
This is tea talk.
I ate. Let's get a little tit talk.
Oh, wait a minute. You ate some tit?
No. Well, I can't segue into what my wife cooked for dinner now after we go tit talk. No, she made bok choy, a dish with bok choy.
Bok choy! Tonight. It's fun to say.
Yeah, but it's hard to find at the grocery store. I had to ask for help. Someone come over to the produce store. And of course, where was it? Right in front of me.
Of course.
Right in fucking front of me. It's like, yeah, it's right there. I'm like, I'm standing right on it.
Is she a good cook?
Yeah, she loves to cook.
Really?
She doesn't.
But she's never home.
But when she is home, but when she like.
I know she takes my lemons.
When she is easy. Easy, Robert
Plant. Till the juice runs down my leg.
No, she loves to cook. So whenever, like I'll say, what are we going to have to do? Oh, I'm going to cook. So yeah, when she's home, she always likes to cook.
You're a lucky guy.
Yeah, yeah. She's a good cook. Except her burritos, they're dry.
Really?
Yeah, they're dry. She bakes them. They get dry.
Oh.
She's going to hate that I said that.
You got to divorce her.
That's the only thing she does wrong. Unload that dishwasher. She does not know how to do that. She puts the burritos in the top of the dishwasher to get them
steamed up. Does she, steam them in there?
Steam them in there. That would be like a Three Stooges thing if the Three Stooges were in 2015.
This oven's a little different.
Spread out.
Yeah, put them in there. Just steam them up in there. And then one of them would end up in there. Like they would fit in there.
Larry's like crawling out. The vegetables are ready.
Today, I don't even want to say, I shouldn't even say this. Today, the Blue Oyster Cult song is on the radio today. Burn It For You.
Sure.
When he hits the chorus, here's what pops into my head. I'm Bernie the Jew. That's for Bernie Sanders.
It is.
That should be his campaign song.
I don't want anything flashy.
I don't want no blue. I don't want oysters. I don't want no cult.
I want a totally acoustic. Bernie For You is not bad.
Bernie For You.
Yeah.
Not Bernie the Jew.
No, I think, maybe.
I think that's a little too far.
Okay.
Might be a step too far.
All right. It's your turn, I think.
All right, I'm going to go back. Kravitz. I'm going to go back to number seven, Kyle.
Okay.
We skipped over. I'm going to big slice of 80s cheese right in your grill. This is this is Richard Marx.
Is this grilled cheese?
Oh, yeah. This is grilled cheese all up in your grill. From Chicago, Richard Marx. Don't mean nothing. Nothing. Yeah. 87, buddy.
I love this song.
Great song. Even if you don't go all the way,
I know that you'll go far. I don't think I have any Richard Marx in my life. We can turn you upside down. No one you can count on in this sleazy little town. No. Lots of promises in the dark. Don't you open your heart. Cause it don't mean nothing. The words that they say. No, it don't mean nothing. These games that people play. No, it don't mean nothing. No victim, no cry. No, it don't mean nothing till you sign it on the dotted line. There you go. I think that's Joe Walsh on guitar on this song.
I wouldn't doubt it. You forget how many hits that guy had, but he had a ton of them in the 80s.
Yeah, he just married Daisy Fuentes.
Did he really?
Yes. He divorced his first wife.
Wow.
Who he was married to for years.
He's got to be older than her. I think she and I are the same age. So he's got to be late 50s, maybe?
I don't know. How old is he, Kyle?
Richard Marx?
Yeah. M-A-R-X.
Speaking of Richard Marx and the Eagles, I found a clip, again, in a YouTube hole that it was a Richard Marx concert, obviously, because he was in the middle. But Randy Meisner and Timothy B. Schmidt are singing Take It Easy. They're doing Take It Easy on the same stage. And I don't remember ever seeing anything where Schmidt and Meisner were on the same stage.
I'm looking up right now.
52.
Richard Marx, 52. He's my age. And he looks amazing.
Yeah, he looks great.
He's one of these John Stamos or Rob Lowe guys.
Yeah. Fuentes
is 49.
Yeah.
Oh, she's older than me.
His first wife was Cynthia Rhodes. She was in, what movie was she in? She was in Flashdance, Staying Alive, and Dirty Dancing.
Wow.
They were married for years. Now, I can't see that Joe Walsh plays guitar on there, but Timothy B. Schmidt and Randy Meisner sing background vocals on this album.
Okay, yeah, because there is a clip out there of them in concert, and they sing Take It Easy.
I really thought
that. And Schmidt and him. I didn't think Meisner and Schmidt hung out, but apparently they do.
They were both in
Poco. Former Poco.
They were both in Poco and the Eagles. So
yeah. It's a great version of it. They sound amazing. And Take It Easy, of course. That's a great song. How do you screw it up?
Jackson Browne and Glenn Frey put that one together. I bet.
Really? Wasn't it a Meisner song?
Take It Easy?
No, I'm sorry. It was Take It to the Limit. Take It to the Limit.
Yeah, that's a Meisner song.
Yeah.
You said Take It Easy.
I'm sorry. I was wrong. Take It to the Limit.
All right. My next song is it's from 2003. This is friend of the show.
Oh, he was look
on,
out.
He was on about a year ago. He sang right here in the studio. Ricky Warwick.
Yeah.
This is from his album Tattoos and Alibis. This is a song called Nothing Is Real.
I've watched the fall guy stumble, seen the yes man mumble, I felt an empire crumble. No one needs me when I'm needing. I've seen the shame in selling tricks. I watched high steppers get their kicks. Blew it all for just one fix. No one needs me when I'm bleeding. You give me nothing, but nothing is real. You say I'm nothing, and that's what you feel.
That sounds great.
This fucking guy can do anything. He can do that hard rock stuff. He can front Thin Lizzy.
And he can sound just like Phil Lynott.
Yeah, I mean.
Or not, like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
So Black Star Riders right now are recording their third album. I'm so glad that, because I didn't know if that was going to be one of these bands. It was like right around for one or two albums and then stop. Right. They're taking a break from recording and they're going to do some Thin Lizzy dates again.
Oh, cool.
So, God, I hope they come to Los Angeles. I know it's
probably right by right by your house there at the Canyon Club.
That would be great. Look, I know it's not really Thin Lizzy,
right?
But it's still cool to hear those songs played live.
I think part of that experience of seeing it is like you get in a crowd of your people.
Yeah,
you know, people people are so isolated now, especially online and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You get together. It's my crowd. Yeah. These are my people.
Yeah, and Scott Gorham is from Thin Lizzy is in the band, and Darren Wharton. Keyboards. He was in Thin Lizzy, so you got two members there. I know it's more members than Foreigners.
Exactly.
More members than Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
They got three. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If I'm going to rant.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is another thing. Mike Schmidt, who we're recording with this week. He's a diehard Tarantino fan. He's a diehard Van Halen fan. He's a diehard Guns N' Roses fan. Those three things can do no wrong. But this Guns N' Roses reunion.
So it's Slash, Duff.
And Axel.
But no Izzy.
No
and
Izzy,
the drummer
no
is
Steven, no Matt Sorum. It's three guys from the new version of Guns N' Roses and then the three original.
Oh, okay.
But I mean it's not a reunion. That's like Van Halen telling us it's a reunion. It's not a reunion if it's not all the guys. And all the guys are alive, so.
Right. Well, Steven is kind of alive.
No, I don't know. I'm gonna have to ask.
He's halfway there.
I know listener Jim Glass has seen Steven Adler live. I'm gonna have to ask him to let me know what shape Stephen was in and how he is as a drummer if he thinks that he could actually pull it off. I don't know.
So is it just going to be a one-off Coachella thing, or are they actually going to tour?
No, they're doing two pre-shows in Vegas, then Coachella, and then they're going to do summer dates.
Really?
Yeah. Jeff Tate calls them Fatso Rose.
and then they're going to get mad at each other halfway through, and that'll be it.
I can't imagine
they're
going to start their concert
2 hours late.
That an Axl Rose now is just like all chill. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, you know what? Let's just do this.
It's just, well, it's money, right? I mean, it's going to be, know that they can't make money with separately as much as they could together.
I'm surprised because I really think Slash was doing pretty well carving out a nice solo niche.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would go back, but oh well, there's going to be some money made. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're up. What do you got?
All right. We're at number 10, Kyle. You saw 20 Feet from Stardom, right?
I didn't.
You didn't see that movie?
Is it on Netflix?
You shut up. You saw it. You did.
This is funny that you bring this up because I was thinking tonight driving here about, I'm not a filmmaker.
Right.
But I know Graham Elwood and some people have made films. And I was thinking about if a documentary about autograph seekers, nothing like that's been done. I would call that 90 minutes from Stardom because you wait 90 minutes until they can. But that might be interesting if done well.
Yes.
If I did it, not.
Not if they follow you around.
But whenever, you know, when you wait with them,
there's a couple of freaks. We see the same guys.
Could you imagine like going to their apartments?
I can't imagine.
And like talking to them?
That would be almost
better than somebody else than me doing that.
That would be better than like a Christopher Guest movie about that. The real thing would be way better.
And what cracks me up every time is every time I'm waiting and those Looney Tunes are there, if I'm with Pardo, Pardo would just look at me and go, you know, you just like those guys. No, I'm not. I was like, you just like them. And then someone comes out and Pardo will go, oh, you signed my CD.
Yeah. Remember when I said you're going to be around your people? That's it. Those are your people.
Those are my people. Okay, I'm sorry. Go
so
ahead.
20 Feet from Stardom, the woman in that named Claudia Lanier. Mm-hmm. She was the woman who became a teacher in L.A.
Okay.
She was the one that was smoking hot, that was in Playboy, and she like banged around with Mick Jagger and everybody else.
I got to see this movie.
Oh, you got to see it. You've never seen this movie.
No, it's a great movie. Haven't.
It's a great movie.
I still haven't watched the Keith Richards documentary.
Oh, okay.
Is that great?
I didn't. No, wait a minute. The new one?
It's on Netflix. There's
I haven't seen that either. I don't have Netflix.
Stop yelling at me.
But you can see 20 Feet from Stardom. No, I don't.
$16
Stop yelling
a month.
At me. Stop yelling at
you
me.
You would love it's Netflix.
Less. You haven't seen 20 Feet from Stardom?
It's like $8 a month if you just want streaming.
Okay, anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a woman, and she's one of the stars of this movie. And she sang with like Leon Russell's band. She sang in like the Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour with Joe Cocker. She dated Bowie and Keith Mick Jagger.
Wow.
And she had one solo album. She was a backup singer, but she had one solo album in 1973 called Phew, P-H-E-W. Phew. Phew. And this is a song from it. And this is, I took this off the that Funky Soul rare box set that we gave away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is called Everything I Do Gonna Be Funky.
You know what her second
funky. It is funky.
Her second album was called
Phew.
When will you do a Rolling Stones episode with me? I want to do it in decades. I want to do the 60s first. I just want to do the Stones in the 60s.
Well, I need a little more time to prepare for that one.
Why don't you have you and Christy set that up and then she'll say no.
I'll take it over at the last minute.
I still have that British. I think I still have that Brit box that you gave me. We never gave that away. We'll give that away in conjunction with a Rolling Stones.
I thought you sold it on eBay. Were you getting rid of that one? You sold something for me on eBay.
I sold the Ray Charles. Was there?
It was the Ray Charles thing.
I sold two things. I paid you that money.
I think
I still have the Brit box. That wouldn't sell. Really?
Yeah, okay.
I'll have to check.
We could give that away.
But yeah, let's do that for our next show. Let's do the Rolling Stones. in the 60s, just the 60s.
Sure.
Because I was thinking about this the other day. The Beatles are only in the 60s. Let It Be came out in 1970. But really, but the Stones then have...
Four decades.
After that. I mean, I know I did a Who show, but the Who doesn't have the catalog that the Stones, it's crazy.
It's interesting. You can go from like the first blues album, it was all covers, and then you can work in and like you can see how they start writing
songs together. And it's crazy because like the first couple albums are just blues covers, and then it's like this amazing songwriting team was just brewing, waiting to burst. All right, my next song is from 1973. Kyle, what you're going to do though, I have this already. All you have to do, you're going to start playing track 8, but you're going to let it, it's going to stop and it's going to go right into track 9. So just let it, you know what I mean? You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
I have it all ready for you.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work, then I'm an idiot. This is a song by Bread. This is Everything I Own.
Oh, I brought that one too.
And then, but then this version is going to go into a friend of the show's cover. I'm not going to say who it is.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free. Set me free. The finest years I ever knew were all the years I had with you.
I would give anything I own.
This is Susanna Hoffs. Did you do that mashup? Was that you?
I did that mashup.
Oh, it was clean. It was clean, man.
You just put an end at one point.
I just put an end at one point, and then I started it, like, tried to sync it up as good as possible.
So if you guys at home want to do that with Run to the Hills, and I'm a Believer.
You can do it.
You better find that, because that's awesome.
January.
I'll try and find it.
Oh, God, if I say January one more time.
February 17th.
February, God, punch me in the balls. Seriously.
Done.
Punch me right in the balls.
Done.
February 17th at the
Improv
in Hollywood will be on Lab.
The Improv Lab, which is next. It's the little room
next door.
Off.
And how is it really tiny?
It's a small room. Well, I don't know. I haven't been there in a while.
I found it because it's the Trooper, and I'm a Believer.
Okay.
It's
not, yeah.
All right. So anyway, we're going to do a tribute to David Bowie that night. We're going to do 5:30 to 7. It's free admission. It's happy hour. Murray will be there. Mike will be there. Christy will be there. April is tentative because she might be in London.
The biggest Bowie fan of all of us.
Biggest Bowie fan of all of us. But it's going to be fun. Heather Stewart, who is a guest on the show, she's going to sing 2 Bowie songs acoustically that
night. Awesome.
And I did not ask her what she's going to sing, and I do not want to know. I want to be surprised.
Oh, that'll be great.
She is an amazing singer and guitar player.
So come by, everyone. Have a cocktail.
Yeah, have a cocktail. We'll celebrate my birthday, which is like 5 days after that.
Toast Pat and Bowie.
That's right.
In that order.
Yeah. R.I.P. Let's R.I.P. for one of us.
Oh, is this it?
Okay, let's hear it.
You'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. You play a musket, but I'll run it through. So when you're waiting for the next attack, you better stand, there's no turning back. The bill was sound, the charge begins. But it's been a day, you won't win. The sound of a smoking horse's breath is a bludgeon into sudden death. Oh,
I'm a believer.
Okay.
Come First on, of all, that's awesome.
There's a lot of creative people out there that aren't using their abilities to the best possible. Unless you put together a whole album of those and you're able to release
that's it. That's a lot of time on one guy's hand.
So much time.
That's someone who's bored at work. That's what that is. Like, someone with editing software is like, you know what kind of sounds the same?
Yeah. Did you ever see that like 10-minute clip where like the Terminator walks in and he's in the Scarface bar and then he turns around and there's an alien and they wrote all the fucking shit.
I don't know how this works. So how can you pull just a vocal off a recording and mash it into something?
I'm sure there's something with Pro Tools, or you know, someone has isolated the tracks, and you can just download.
It's a new
that.
App. It's called Jack Smash. You just put the two songs in there, and it puts them together pretty cool. It syncs them up pretty well. It's a free app, Jack Smash.
Jack Smash. All right, I'm up.
Anything, any word could be an app. Right now.
Sure,
crunk. You know, just like
you got the crunk app.
Yeah,
pussy finder.
That's Tinder.
Oh.
All right, go ahead. What's up?
Okay, this is our gal Madonna. Probably my favorite post 80s Madonna album, Ray of Light. This is Nothing Really Matters.
Yeah, Ray of Light. Ray of Light's probably her last really good album.
Yeah, that one. It's I go back to it every once in a while because it's really good. It's strong throughout. You know, yeah. It's not like this last one, her new one. We talked about this in the year end thing. It's just
tough,
really hit and miss.
Yeah,
I hear one and it's like, oh, I like that, and the next one, I hate this.
Yeah, she's dating Sean Penn again.
What?
Yeah, they're dating again.
No,
I'm not kidding. They were married. Now they're dating again. Chapo's going to marry them.
El Chapo, sure.
El Chapo. They are dating. I'm not joking. This next song is from 1975. This band opened up for Van Halen when I saw them on the 5150 tour.
Opened up.
Okay. Yeah. And they only played five songs to open. Only played five songs.
That's enough.
The biggest cheer they got was every time they said Van Halen, they would be like, between songs, they'd be like, it's great being here opening for Van Halen.
Woo!
But this is a band called Bachman Turner Overdrive.
How can you look at them? How can you take them seriously after that Taking Care of Christmas debacle that they did, that we played?
Look, man,
on the Christmas show.
You're not Taking Care of Christmas?
You ain't seen Christmas yet. Dun, dun.
You know who's coming out here? Is coming to what's the place in San Juan Capistrano called? The Coach House?
Coach House. Yeah, yes.
Burton Cummings is coming out there.
Oh, really?
I hope he comes to the, I would go see him if he came.
I would
to
see
the
him if he came closer
to the Canyon Club.
Yeah.
I hope he does. You know, he's very active on Facebook. Like he'll.
Oh, really? He'll answer like a question?
Yeah, he's like very, he's a pretty cool dude. Like and he'll just say, look, I know that I don't know people on Facebook. He goes, but I feel like I do. And I'm really into this technology. He discovered it like yesterday. Wow. But
he's Canadian. Come on. They're a little behind on things.
I like his page on Facebook.
Awesome. I'll check it out.
Burton Cummings. I would love to. I'm a fan. I would definitely go see them. Yeah, he's got at least 10 strong songs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Guess Who? Stand Tall?
These Eyes.
Yeah.
Come on. We got to go.
Your turn.
My turn. Okay, I'm going to go to Bob Dylan. This is Everything is Broken.
I don't know this one. What year?
Can't remember. I got it off the compilation. It's later Dylan.
Broken lines. Broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Everything is broken.
It's a good tune. I like that song a lot.
90s? I want to say 90s, maybe?
Yeah, I like that song a lot.
You look it up? Somebody can look it up. Everything is broken.
He didn't sound like that when we saw him.
No.
My dad said that was Bob Dylan is tied for the worst concert he ever saw.
What's it tied with?
It's tied with Kenny Rogers. Because the guy who opened for Kenny Rogers played longer than Kenny Rogers, and Kenny Rogers got to 45 minutes and just stopped.
Yeah, and this was Kurt, because he just told me that too. And Kenny Rogers, it was in his heyday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like you saw him 3 weeks ago. He's like, saw him in his heyday.
I saw Kenny Rogers at the Holiday Star Theater in Merrillville, Indiana, when we were working the comedy club there. And you could sneak into the big showroom and see the... And
that was always fun.
And I remember him seeing running into him in the hallway after the show, and he was carrying a pizza to his room.
How many... That was kind of like a Universal amphitheater size, wasn't it?
I want to say it was like the Wiltern. I would say it was probably about 2,000 seats.
I think it was bigger than that, because I saw Judas Priest and Alice Cooper there.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it was that big.
I was walking through the hotel, and Rob Halford walking with two young gentlemen. I didn't know at the time.
All right, his valets. Sure.
I said, Rob, how you doing? He goes, all right. Just like literally, didn't stop walking. All right. I just remembered that right now when you were talking about.
I saw Tony Bennett in that room, and I remember. Somebody told me, I was working there 1 week, and somebody said, oh, there's a comedian in the showroom. I was like, if anybody's big enough to play that room, and I never heard of the guy. And I was like, who was it?
Tony Bennett?
It was Bernie Mac.
Wow.
It was before he became famous, but he was from Gary, or he had, you know, it was right south of Gary there, and he was so big on the black circuit.
Joke in peace.
He could sell out, he could sell out a whole theater.
Yeah.
He had a band. He had like a backup dancers he called the Macaronis. It was crazy. He had a show, man. And I was like, who the hell is this dude, man?
It's crazy.
He was huge.
What did he have a heart attack?
Yeah, I think so.
Everything is Broken is from 1989.
89, I knew it was close. Yeah.
Sounds pretty good for 89.
Yeah, no, he still had a voice then.
My next song is Men at Work from 1985.
Oh!
It was the album that followed Cargo, an album called Two Hearts. We've got a rocking piece here. Greg Hamm is deceased from Men at Work. This was really a two-man operation, this third album. It was really just Colin Hay and Greg Hamm. But this is a song I love. I love this song. It's Everything I Need.
Be a good guest to get. He plays Largo all the time, and he's actually a funny guy.
I think he's been on a couple podcasts lately.
Colin Hay, I know he's done Marin's, I think.
He was on
Pardo? Did he do Pardo?
He's on Parkastathon.
He was on Parkastathon. And Jimmy and I created a show called Glory Days that we shot a pilot presentation for. And Colin Hay was the guest. So I always think like that
he might even know you.
Maybe he wrote on Parkastathon. When he was signing my album, he was looking at the crowd, and as he signed it, he went...
he mouthed
the words, fuck you, as he signed it.
How many more do I have? Because I got to plan this out.
I've got two more.
Two more, okay.
So you play one, I'll play one, you play one, I'll play one, and then you can do a play out.
All right, that'll be fun. So what are we on? We're on nothing, right?
Sure.
Okay. Yes. We're on
This is one of Stevie Wonder's best. He wrote this about Richard Nixon.
I can't see nothing.
And the Jackson 5 does the backup singing on this. This is You Haven't Done Nothing.
It's not too cool to be ridiculed, but you brought this up on yourself. The world is trying to pacify. We want the truth and nothing. Say doo-doo-wop, yeah, doo-doo-wop.
Jackson 5 kicking in on the doo-doo-wops.
I do like the Jackson 5. I always did.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked the Jackson 5.
Except that Tito you didn't care for.
Tito with the hat and the guitar. The one guy that had musical ability.
Right.
You know, could play an instrument, I mean. I guess they all had some musical ability. Jackie still makes me laugh because it looks like his uncle's on stage with Michael. Yeah. There was a 20-year difference.
Yeah.
He's, you know, Michael's 8, Jackie's 28. At least that's what it looked like. I'm sure I'm wrong. You got something for us, Kyle? You look like you want to talk.
No, I was going to look up the age of Jackie Jackson.
All right. How old's Jackie Jackson right now?
It says he's loading. He was born in 51.
Well, thanks. Now I got to do math. How old is he?
I'm trying to look. It's not. What would that be?
He's 64. 50,
yeah, 64.
He's 64. And Michael would be how old right now? I think there's only a 10-year difference.
Michael, I believe, was born in 61. Was that sound right?
He was born in 58, so 58. He'd be 57.
Oh. And how old was Jackie? Jackie
64.
Would be
4.
So there's a 7-year difference?
Oh, there's then Michael was a shrimp and Jackie was standing on top of a building.
He probably hit his growth spurt at that probably. Point already.
All right. My next song is from 2002. It's from Bruce Springsteen's his comeback album with the... Kyle, can I ask you something? That guy sitting on the couch over there.
Yeah.
Is that who I think it is?
It might be. I don't know when you bring him over and find out.
Okay. I think that guy's Michael Schenker.
What?
Oh, what?
Yeah. Michael.
I did see some guys hanging out in the in the alley.
Sir, could you... Are you Michael Schenker from the band UFO, also from Michael Schenker Group, MSG?
Hi, this is Michael. I hope you're all doing great.
All right. Well, that is Michael Schenker.
It is.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Michael. Thanks for...
What a nice thing to say.
I know. He's very nice. All right. Yeah, you can sit. You can watch. So this is from Bruce Springsteen. This is when he got back with the E Street Band for The Rising. Majority of this album is written about 9/11, including this song called Nothing Man.
I don't remember how I felt. I never thought I'd live to read about myself in my hometown paper. How my brave young life was forever changed in a misty cloud of pink vapor. Darling, give me your kiss. Only understand I am the nothing man.
Produced by Brendan O'Brien. Brendan O'Brien.
Sounded good.
Yeah, that's
sounded
a good, good. I really like that song.
So what do we have? I have two everythings and a nothing. How do I forget?
You're going to play an everything, and then I'm going to play an everything, and then we'll do some promoting, and then you'll play us out.
With a nothing?
With whatever.
Oh, okay. Boy. So I only have two songs left?
Yeah, you got two.
You son of a bitch. Okay, I'm going to go with another nothing then. This is the Velvet Underground with Oh Sweet Nothing.
Every day she falls in love. Every night she falls, and when she does, she says, oh, sweet nothing. You know she ain't got nothing at all. Whoa, whoa, sweet nothing.
Also off the High Fidelity soundtrack, I pulled that from.
Wow, that's a good soundtrack. I got to get that soundtrack.
No,
I love
great.
That movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
it's
that a movie.
Cusack.
Movie. Springsteen's in it.
Jack Black made him a star. The asshole
really
record
did,
store employee. Back when there were record stores and employees.
Tim Robbins is in it?
Yeah.
Tim Robbins is in it. Him and John Cusack are big buddies.
Oh, yeah.
and that Piven, is he making an appearance in that? Jeremy Piven, he's John Cusack's buddy.
Well, Tim Robbins and Jack Black were in that started a theater group together, that one in Westwood or whatever.
Oh, you're right.
Theater Tribe.
Yeah, and they have an HBO show.
So they're all the same.
Don't they? Jack Black.
Oh, yeah, The Brink.
The Brink, yes.
Oh, my God. I was on the ship, and they got some like Spanish channel on the ship, uh-huh. And they were playing was it Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny? That yeah. movie? Ooh.
Was it in English?
Yeah, it was subtitled. They played it in English, but there was Spanish subtitles. Gotcha. But there was... it was so terrible.
Did they show Nacho Libre?
Oh, God. And Tim Robbins is in it, though.
Yeah.
So that's how close he is to Jack Black. He was willing to be in that piece of shit.
Oh, my goodness. That was Asian and then went into like someone from a plantation. All right, look. Here we go. My next song is written by Sammy Hagar, but made much more popular by a heartthrob from General Hospital named Rick Springfield. This is I've Done Everything
You
for
played
you.
This on the interview.
We did. Yeah. Played
great
Sammy,
song.
Sammy's version.
Still a great song, man.
Yeah, Rick's version actually has a little bit more zip than Sammy's, I will have to admit.
Did he cop to it? I bet Sammy doesn't mind cashing the checks, though.
Nah, man, that's mailbox money. He basically said, Sammy said his first 5 albums, he goes, yeah, just go get them. I go,
oh, really?
I go, what do you mean go get them? He's like, I don't make any money from them, just take them.
Yeah, no, he said that.
He goes, I don't think I make any money
I don't
from
think
them.
I make any, God doesn't even know where his money comes
so
from.
So much money.
Could care less.
He's got so much.
Fucking money bags. okay, so February 17th, come see all of us.
Hopefully. Comedy Lab at the Improv.
It's free. Right, we're going to be at the Improv in Hollywood, and we're going to record live 5:30 to 7. We're going to have a musical guest, Heather Stewart. We're going to play Bowie tunes. We're going to drink. We're going to get crazy. Everyone's going to be there. Hopefully April will make it. She might be in London, but if not, we'll all be there, and we'll just be having fun.
We have possible giveaways to fans, maybe, perhaps?
Well, at this point, I can't confirm that, but I did contact Columbia Records. I asked them if we could get some Black Star posters and some Black Star CDs to give away, but they have not got back to me yet, but I will keep hammering them. So
how about some Rock Solid merch? We got those t-shirts flying off the shelves, man.
But I don't have those. You have to like order.
Oh yeah. Those are,
I don't like have those in my garage.
We need mugs. We need, what are we?
Mugs. But,
stickers.
Mike, tell us, Travel Tales Podcast.
TravelTalesPodcast.com, funnymike.com. For me, I'm going to be, I don't have any live dates. I don't know. You can go to the website and see it. Cool. If I have any live updates.
Go to rocksolidpodcast.com and read Andrew Rich's amazing notes and see all the extra special stuff that he puts into it. Also, donation button there if you want to support the show. That's cool. Kyle, you're at Kyle Dotson Funny. You got a comedy show coming up?
Not yet.
All right.
They changed venues, so they're like in the process of moving. Gotcha. So
no one needs no date no one, yet. No one cares about that.
Oh, I'm at Funny Mike on Twitter. And Travel Tales Pod on Twitter.
Pat_Francis on Twitter, and I'm at Rock Solid Show on Twitter. We are at Rock Solid Show on Twitter. And Mike, you got a play out song for us.
All right.
So
I got to throw some apologies around, though, to Tom Petty, to Poison, Nothing But a Good Time. Wham, Everything She Wants. Come on now. I had some Hall & Oates going in there. I had Air Supply. Should I play the Air Supply? Or should we do, I'm going to do this one, because this one's obnoxious. And, this is by our friend Ray Stevens, who had a big hit in the 70s. This is pre The Streak, I believe.
This is
Everything is Beautiful. This goes out to Kyle's parents.
So terrible.
I'm sure they'd love it and own it.
Probably.
Listen to this.
Your parents don't rock.
Yeah.
This was a hit.
Everything is beautiful.
Oh, that sucks.
In its own way.
I like the streak better.
Like a starry summer night or a snow-covered winter's day. So blind as he who will not see. We must not close our minds. We must let our thoughts